Hello and welcome to the Midweek Mashtati Sportscast. This is The Aftermash, a wee special bonus episode of The Aftermash while the podcast is on its summer holidays. Or well, me more specifically, but just in general, we're taking a wee week off for recording. So we are recording this very special episode for your listening pleasure. On the show with me today, oh, my name's Mick, obviously. On the show today, as always, we have Harvey and Paul.
Is it Harvey?
Yay.
Come on down.
We're back once again.
Day after day.
How's
as
your holiday always, going, Mick?
Sorry?
How's your holiday going?
Epic. Wells amazing.
Isn't it great?
Feet up. Sand between
Did you go
toes.
To the Louvre?
The Louvre.
We are indeed booked in to go to the Louvre and up the Eiffel Tower and all the touristy stuff.
The tour of the Eiffel.
All the trimmings, all the French trimmings.
Indeed.
See me, Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse.
I will most likely be in need of a holiday when I come back from holiday. It's one of the holidays.
If I don't see you a pair of mouse ears on, I'm going to be so disappointed, man.
Oh, there will no doubt be pictures.
Go for it.
I've managed to avoid a sort of family matching t-shirt scenario.
Yes,
I've dodged that bullet, but I have no doubt I'll have some ears on at some point.
Get the Christmas card picture, son.
Aye.
Hey, the Americans are big on them, eh?
With the old family Christmas card pictures.
Aye. It's definitely made a thing over there, eh?
Aye, I feel like that'll come here eventually.
Probably.
Well, that's pyjamas already is. I mean, look at the Christmas pyjama thing where everybody's sheeped into it. I mean, we do that. You do as well, Mac, don't you? You do the old matching jammies.
Yes, unfortunately. I mean, unfortunately, because I really love it.
Naked.
Give it time. Stacey Solomon will do family Christmas cards and that'll be the rotty is fucked. She's like the queen of fucking mammies, basically, is what I've learned, Stacey Solomon.
Cleaning woman.
Aye, Mrs. Hinch and Stacey Solomon. I think the cleaning, the Mrs. Hinch is more the patron saint of Sandra's. Well, every scheme woman wants to be like her.
Stacey Solomon.
Aye, Stacey Solomon, Harvey. She was an X Factor. Aye, the one that could have talked as if she was just about to sneeze all the time.
She's on what is she on now? GMTV or something?
Instagram. Bunch of stuff, man. She's like a legit presenter now. She's doing one of the Bake Off shows and stuff too.
She was going back and forth with somebody. Well, I don't know if it was the other day, but I seen the video that other day where she was going back and forth about the royal family. She was like, "What do the royal family do? Like, they just take money and this and that." And blah, blah, blah,
Stacey
like,
Solomon was saying that.
Aye, aye. She's like, "I don't see the point."
I mean, I agree with her, but right. she's got a housewife kind of audience to appeal to there. You usually kind of give away the old, but the royal family, kind of part.
She's mental. Keeping it real, man.
Honestly, my missus hits the roof every time she puts a story up on Instagram because it's going to be something cool about alpacas or a nice tidy house. For real, honestly. I can't believe we're living in this world.
I did mental words living in a world.
Social media is a wonderful thing.
Like folk in the 50s are like flying cars. No, Stacey Solomon has fucking alpacas. Oh my god. Or is that Mrs. Hinch? I get the two of them mixed up. They're the same fucking pair.
Is it true?
Anyway.
That's
my
two
along,
cents.
Yeah. Ali G, bro.
I'm just bringing the content that the people want, Mick. That's what I'm doing.
Right, I've got a wee surprise that will hopefully give us a few laughs. But I'm wondering if we should save that for a wee bit later in the show and maybe cover some sports stuff first.
Let's save it.
Sports.
Obviously, we had a conversation earlier where the whole Jake Paul and Haseem.
Oh, I was talking off air about the boxing falling through.
So remember I said like Haseem had...
The contract stuff.
So he was
put
saying
some background in this though.
Aye, right, quick bit of context.
Because we're talking about a conversation off air and no further amount of the subject matter.
Terrible for me.
So Jake Paul was supposed to be fighting Yoan Fury. What year was it?
Tommy Fury.
Supposed to be thinking Tommy Fury. Tommy Fury was having an awful bother getting into America, so that fight fell through. Jake Paul then got a replacement opponent, and he was going to fight Hasim Rahman Jr. Right, so he's the son of a former heavyweight champ. He's a legit boxer. I believe he's a cruiserweight. Is that right? Do you know?
If he's 205 weight, he'll be a cruiserweight. Cruiserweight.
So there was an agreement that they were going to meet at £200. Somewhere along the lines, Hasim has said, "No bueno, my body's no liking this. How is it with day 205? This was agreed. Then somewhere further down the line, he's then said, "See how I said 205? Aye, not really working. 215, that's the number." And then apparently Jake Paul's then said, "No bueno, that's too heavy. It's no happening, the fight's off." However, there has been some chat, rumours, etc., that the fight was not selling as they expected. And because they've went ahead and booked themselves into the Madison Square Garden and has a lovely, lovely bill of a boot, $500,000, to book out the main arena, they have decided that they're not going to sell enough, so they've just canned it. That's the chart. So the official line is it's all down to the weight issues. The rumoured real issue is no selling enough tickets. The conversation we were having off air is that Harvey was going, he was saying that he'd read or seen something about Hasim Jr. Talking about some contractual issues, more specifically, it was stuff to do with deductions for every pound that he was overweight or something along the lines.
Yep. I think he fights at heavyweight. All right. 224, I think. Anyway.
Well, if his dad was a heavyweight.
Aye. Yes, he was talking about his contract stuff. So Hasim Jr. was getting 0% of pay-per-view sales. All right. Plus, he was going to be fined 25% of the total purse for every pound overweight he was. So,
say that again?
Aye, exactly. 25% of the total purse for every pound overweight he was.
So that means he's got £4 until he gets none.
Well, I think the way that they would have did it, where let's say he was getting 100 grand, they take 25% of that, so then it's what, 75. And then if it's another pound, 25% of the 75.
Right.
Which is still,
I mean, still the money goes down quick.
Right. Like, and then to have 0% of pay-per-view sales as well, like...
That's harsh.
So, I don't know. He didn't say how much he was getting paid, but... That's shocking, to be fair. Why he would even sign that contract, who knows. Well, actually, if he beats him, he gets a lot of publicity, doesn't he? So...
I just want to correct what I said earlier. So I've just looked it up, and this is the official line. The fight was agreed for £200, but then for whatever reason there was a weight check. I don't know if this was to do with the New York Commission or if it was contractual, but there was a weight check on Friday past. At the weight check, Rahman, if that's how you say his name, sorry, Rahim. He was 215 pounds apparently at the weight check. So then, the weight check, he was supposed to be 215 to show that the weight was coming down and he was going to make 200, but he weighed in at 216. So then they've requested a 215 catch weight. But the commission supposedly has stated that they wouldn't sanction the bout unless it could make it 205. And then at that point, apparently, it was called off. But either which way, it all seems a bit squirrely.
Aye, seems there's something, something all right there. Yeah, no. Aye. I mean, hopefully. Aye, hopefully it's the end of this celebrity bloody circus boxing, whatever, I don't know.
Well, KSI is fighting somebody. God, I've no idea who it is, but he's fighting somebody in like September or something like that, and apparently that's selling very well. If the hype's to be believed, anyway.
KSI is another one who has a lot of followers, especially in England.
Mm-hmm. So,
have you yet to actually watch a YouTube video with that boy to understand what the deal is? What is the deal?
Alex Wasabi. Oh, it was just very funny. So I think he started out with FIFA.
Aye.
Right, so he's like, all right, so it's all about playing FIFA and stuff like that.
He was a streamer. I'm sure it was FIFA was the first game that he blew up on. Basically, he's just a bit of a character.
Aye, he's just a bit of a lad.
He's
actually pretty funny.
He streams and that. So it's he's a wee bit different. I mean, it's still YouTube, but he's a wee bit different for the Paul brothers. Whereas they were doing all sorts of stuff. They were doing like sketch type stuff and outlandish things to get attention and whatnot. Whereas KSI started out basically as a gamer, as I understand it. But I can't say I've ever been a fan of any of them. It's no my thing. I watch a lot of YouTube videos, to be fair, but
I do like my YouTube videos, especially gamer YouTubes. I do get the appeal to it. My football manager is basically taking tips off of YouTubers. that's what I'm doing as well. I'm football manager. Oh, absolutely, man. I'm picking up tips, man. In real life, managers learn from managers. I'm learning from players. Absolutely, man. Go learn somewhere.
So, I have a decision for these lads. Do you want to talk some football, seeing as we're on football manager as it is? Or do you want to dig into the Commonwealth Games and see what's happening?
I mean, I went to see some football yesterday.
You went there.
Real live football.
Mm-hmm.
Real life in-person foosball.
Real life in-person football, yep. So it was my son's birthday on Friday, and this was one of his two surprises. One was Kirby and the Magical Adventurelander, whatever the hell it was called. It's a Nintendo Switch game.
Oh, right. I thought you meant Kirby.
Oh, right, actually, I know. I'm actually playing a classic Kirby in the streets. No, Kirby is indeed a computer game character.
Ollie, guess what? We're going to play Kirby.
Hashtag not my Kirby.
Oh man.
No, the Kirby that he likes is this wee pink guy that eats whatever he eats and then he becomes it. It's a bit weird, to be honest, but computer games. But his other surprise was going to football, so I got him tickets to go see Air United. Poor wee boy. God, what a shame. So we both got Air United tops on the way to see Air United play at home against our broth.
Lovely.
Happy to say it was actually a good afternoon.
Good game, aye?
Nil-nil draw, but actually a good performance. Mm-hmm. Got to see real football in the flesh, like live football. It's just, it's different, man.
Aye, you're right.
Isn't that, man? Mm-hmm. It's totally hits different.
When you're in the stadium watching it, it's completely different. Watching it on the telly.
I've taken him a couple of times now, man, and he's starting to get it as well. Like, he's getting we're in the stand behind the goal, the Somerset Road stand, which is obviously where all the kind of the heavies are in, man. That's the kind of the busiest stand in the stadium. Great scene. I'm just loving the noise and loving the partying, man.
Mm-hmm.
Aye, good fun. But
do you ever
season, eh?
Do you see Air United?
There you go. We got just run the horses for C.
You see Air United ever being in the top league?
Premier.
Aye.
I mean, this season is the greatest opportunity for any championship team because it is just completely level. There's no sleeping giant sitting within the division this year. So all the nonsense with Rangers, Hearts and Hibs is all done. They're all established again. Dundee United went back up. Kilmarnock immediately went back up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only team of any kind of size...
Dundee.
within Dundee, really, mate. Or, I mean, you could argue Partick are a big team as well in the Championship, but as far as budgets goes, but it's pretty open, like it's pretty open. And that was second place, only to Kilmarnock last year, and who were top until two games to go, basically. So.
Aye.
And Arbroath and Ayr made them look very, I mean, Ayr dominated them, even until the sending off in the last 10 minutes, which in a way harmed Ayr because Arbroath just sat in all the more and protected, which obviously you would do, but it was great. It was a great game of watching. Ayr look very good for once. I know their League Cup campaign was a bit of a shambles, but that's always a bit of a kind of hit and miss, the League Cup with the groups in July.
It's kind of basically the pre-season, isn't it?
Aye, it's like a competitive pre-season, effectively. Some teams take it more serious than others.
So, obviously, you're saying they look good this season. A team that doesn't look good is bloody Motherwell.
Aye.
What a shower of beep.
Aye, but then they win today as well, though. They won against St Mirren.
St Mirren were doing it to 10 man, I think.
I hate Motherwell.
I think it was a controversial penalty too, I'm not sure. Didn't watch it, but aye, Motherwell. Oh, God. You said it the other day, Paul, when you're so right. Every time they just sneak in to the top, into the top six, and then sneak into Europe, and then go to Europe and just get bloody humiliated.
Them and St Johnston, mate. Every few seasons, they just waste every day's time.
Do you know?
Doing nothing.
You know how many times Motherwell has won this year?
How many?
Like in a proper fixture. I'm not talking about friendlies or that. I think this will be their fifth win in the whole of 2022. And they still managed to finish fifth in the league.
Ah, it's brutal. That says how shite the league was last year.
I was going to say, it just shows you how poor the league is and all. like, terrible. Like, how can you still finish fifth? And I think they won three games in the season. Also, this will be a fourth. But three games in the last part of the season for January and still managed to finish fifth. That's poor.
Brutal.
Why? Motherwell, make Scotland look like a... Well, I mean, it's not hard, but make us look like a laughing stock. Our league and like it's...
I mean, I've got to say, I laughed. I did laugh.
It was, get beat 1-0 and then they get beat 2-0 for Sligo. Like, really? Anyway.
On the plus side, you know what? You saw the home game in Motherwell. It's a half empty stadium at Firth Park because they never ever attract whatever the capacity of that stadium is, which is 14,000 or something ridiculous. Mm-hmm. They don't have that many fans. I don't think there's ever been that many fans in the history of Motherwell. That have supported Motherwell in the past 100 years. But yeah, you look at Sligo Rovers, the stadium in the return leg, and it's packed full, man.
Aye.
It looks so much better. So fair play to them. Good.
Aye.
They deserved it. They deserved to go through against
Fingers crossed they do well. Aye. I mean, hopefully now Rangers get into Champions League and then Hearts can they. I mean, obviously Hearts are guaranteed football, like group stage football. Yeah. So is Rangers. Dundee United, hopefully they can do something. I know it's going to be hard for them. not really sure who they're playing. I kind of mind. One of the big teams.
I'm just having a look to see. AZ Alkmaar of Holland.
Aye, AZ Alkmaar.
I don't know enough about AZ Alkmaar. I assume that they are far more equipped than Dundee United.
Aye, they will be.
Aye, so they beat Tuzla City 4-0 away from home.
Anyway, how's your by the way, I didn't know that. Did you know that Kirk Broadfoot signed for Open Goal Broomhill?
Oh, I do, man. Hey, mate, you been watching any of their stuff on YouTube?
Bits and pieces.
So I quite like the Open Goal YouTube shows. Mm-hmm. So I do. So, Mick, I don't know if you know about Open Goal.
Have you ever explained to him before?
I kind about it for you, chatting about it, and then I watched that documentary thing you recommended.
Oh, but Paul Slane, right? About him recovering for his injury and all that sort of thing.
Yep.
Aye, right. Well, the season started there in the Scottish Lowland League. They signed Kurt Broadfoot, ex-Rangers player.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the name.
He was actually played with Inverness Carlow last year. So he played in the playoff final. Which Carlow lost, which would have put them into the Scottish Premiership. So he was released for his contract at the end of the year, had the option to return to Carlow if he wanted to continue being full time or to go to other teams. He signed with Open Goal Broomhill, this YouTube team effectively. Got a Scottish hashtag.
Are they a part time club or the full time?
So they're part time still. But they have a far higher budget than I think they ever have had. Like they now play out of Cumbernauld Broadwood Stadium, which used to be Clyde's.
Yep.
But it was interesting to hear him. He was on. They did a podcast show for the keeping the ball on the ground one, which is kind of the boys bantering about the weekends, kind of happenings in football, and then they do the Open Goal FC one, which is talking about the club. And Kip Broadfoot was on that, and he was just obviously was talking about what he was bringing to the kind of team and all that. It was very interesting, sort of hear him talk about all that.
So does that mean then the fella that's like running the club, he's one of the podcast presenters? Is that right?
Aye, Simon Ferry. So
then effectively the manager and a new signee is on the same podcast.
Simon Ferry wasn't the one, that specific one that Kurt Broadfoot was on. They seem to have a presenter for that show, at least, Simon Ferry isn't doing too club much. Things with the players.
I thought that might be a wee bit funky.
Conflict of interest, it's an interesting kind of project. I mean, you wonder when the social media becomes too much. Or whether it be, I mean, one thing it definitely does is bring eyes to them.
For sure.
Like as a club, like.
I mean, Kurt Broadfoot was a Scotland international.
I mean, he got capped for Scotland. They had a big long career playing in England, playing with Rangers. I mean, I lived his dream, man.
Aye.
Just a big boy for Drungan, man.
That's right. I forgot he's for Drungan.
What kind of age is he? Like early 30s or something?
You're older than me, 37. I'm 37. So he's due to turn 38 in the next couple of weeks. So he'll be 38.
I mean, that age at that level, as a defender, it's a good age.
He'll stroll about the games, man. It was effectively 90 minutes for being a Premier League player again. Like 2 months ago. You know what I mean? So it's a massive difference in level.
He would have, I think, like looking at it, if I was in that position and they approached me, I think I would definitely go, I would move in just to see what we could do. Like, you know what I mean? Get up, like it's a project. I'm coming to the end of my career. It'd be cool to see if I could help take this club from the Lowland League up into the SPFL and stuff. It'd be good. He started off at Talbot, didn't he? Did he know?
Broadfoot.
I think he played.
I mean, boys club level. I think he played with Talbot. Talbot. But no, it was Hibs. I think he originally was at as a kind of pro youth in St Mirren.
Hibs, Queen of the Surf as well, right?
As a boy that was. I think that was prior to being pro youth. He went to Queen of the South to train. There was a lot of years for boys about that kind of era. I mean, because he was in the year above me at school. So he was. There was a lot of kids who run about my area, went down to Queen of the South to train, like certain nights of the week before they were signed anywhere. United used to do it as well, where they would have one night of training for boys' club kids.
It was Burns. Somebody Burns. Harvey.
Right.
He would have been that similar age
Paul
group.
Burns. Paul Burns.
Oh, he went Queen of the South, did he?
No, Paul Burns is near third.
Oh, is he near third boy? I thought he was in my cat.
No, wait. Is Paul... Wait. Ryan was a year above us. Isn't he? Paul. James is his brother. Ryan Burns is a different brother.
Queen of the South did take a lot of kids for that kind of era. So there was Ayrshire. They did use Ayrshire as one of their kind of scouting areas. So they did roundabout then.
The problem with Ayrshire is it's a shithole.
I don't know, man, Dumfriesshire.
Well, why? But I mean, the problem with Ayrshire is there's a lot of talented boys there, but the pass that they get led down and stuff is just
I feel like, I mean, I'm not wanting to name names, but I can certainly think of a lot of boys my age that just they were training with Rangers or training with Celtic, and then they were getting gassed every bloody weekend, and before you knew it, they're wanting as brickies and so on and so forth, and the fact my career's been hitting the head, like
shame, like, but
I also think it must be a difficult situation when you're that age, when you're in your wee school, and you're the best player, and nobody can get near you, and then you get chucked into an environment where everybody's that good, and suddenly you're not very special anymore.
Aye.
And it must be like a big mental challenge to switch on to think, right, now I need to be better than all these folk. Whereas a lot of boys will just be like, ah, fuck this, man, this isn't fun anymore.
Aye.
Like, it must be a hard thing to get around, man. It's an interesting kind of... We get to pick the brain of somebody, like, who didn't quite make it.
The outliers... in terms of people who have a natural talent for a sport and come from like a really rough area, the outliers are the ones that coming for that background puts a fire in them, that kind of thing. Aye. They never give up, they never stop trying.
Aye.
But more often than no, the talent will be wasted because of the coming for that area. They're a big fish in a small pond, and they get pulled into their own things, and then, as you say, like, when they go to that next level up, suddenly they're the small fish in the big pond.
You know, when you see that more often,
you know, the hometown hero.
You see that more often in places out with the UK, because obviously the UK, like, if you don't have a job, like, you get help for the government, etc., like, you know, brewing that. Countries where they don't have that is where you see that a lot.
Aye, the percentage of people with talent also having the fire in them is a wee bit higher.
Because that's the way they know that they can make money doing that.
Well, that's, I mean, that is another thing as well. Like, it's definitely a lot easier to put yourself in the mind space where you need to attain this because it's your future and you're responsible for it. Like, whereas...
I think there needs to be a change at the school level, I think. In the UK.
Like
across all sports, there needs to be more doors opened, more avenues for people to discover that they've got a talent, and then ways that they can pursue it. Because right now, like, if you don't have an uncle that can somebody that can somebody, or like, just be lucky enough to be in the right place when a scout's kicking about, your chances of making it in any sport, if you come from an area such as Ayrshire, like, it's slim pickings, man.
The thing I always notice with kids' sports, especially in football, I mean, in football, it was the worst for this, but it wasn't about being talented, it was about being overdeveloped quicker.
Right.
So when I was a wee boy as a goalkeeper, I mean, I wasn't a big boy. I wasn't inches taller than I should have been at my age. I was just a wee guy. And I played with a team full of wee boys. The best teams in our division were the kids boys. Who were men before they were boys, if you know what I mean. Aye. Like, who'd grew up quicker, so they were bigger, stronger, heavier.
It was the same thing in rugby, me and Harvey.
I imagine it would be in rugby as well. Aye. Rugby, obviously, that's even all the more apparent, like, because you've got boys who can literally clean out.
There was teams that were just hellish to come up against. Like, Kelly was one because of one particular player. I remember we were like under 16s or under 17s, and they had a lad that you would swear that he was like 21 or something. He was over 6 foot and built like a brick shit house, and he was like still seemingly a young lad, but we were looking at him thinking, what do you do with that? And there was teams like during the borders and kind of made up north and stuff where it was like all these like firmer lads.
Oh, God.
The They were big, absolute and thick giants and strong.
The Fenmers, they were, aye. Oh, man. That's
so I get what you're saying, man. I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Aye. It's something that hasn't changed, is what I was trying to say as well. Mm-hmm. Like, when I went to be a coach, it was still the same. It was the bigger teams, the mm-hmm. big strong boys, as opposed to talent.
Mm-hmm. I don't usually give America credit, but one thing they did that they've got done pretty well is sports in schools.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for when they're young, like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
there's a big emphasis on sports, and they've got that right, I think.
Yep.
It's like, I remember when you were charging the car, Michael, down by the race, in Kelly.
The athletics stadium thing.
And I just I remember looking at some of the veins, and I was just like, man, no wonder we can't do it. We're not good at anything. Look at these 14-year-olds, and they look so young, but you go across the water, go to America, a 14-year-old is three times the size of them, like, mm-hmm. in terms of muscle mass and stuff, you know?
They train
properly. They make sure that they train. Aye.
Yep.
And us, it's just like you know? So we're behind the ball a bit in that sense, but... Aye. What can we do? Needs a change. Aye. I mean, just talking about athletics, why don't we talk about the Commonwealth Games that's going on in the round?
Christ, aye.
Of a stretch. Well, I happen to have the table here, the medal table. So having a wee nosy. So currently it is Australia comfortably in the lead with... we should say we're recording this on Sunday the 31st, so I think by the time this comes out, this will be bye way.
Aye.
So the full results will be available should you want to check them out. But at this moment in time, it is Australia in the lead with 19 golds, 11 silvers and 16 bronzes, a total of 46 medals. Then you've got England with 10, 16, 6, total of 32. New Zealand, 10-5-3, total 18. Canada, in fourth with 3-4-8, total 15. Scotland, the mighty Scotland, in fifth with 2 golds, 7 silvers, 8 bronze, a total of 17 medals.
Yeah, tremendous.
And I was having a wee look for Cayman Islands. They're currently not on the board.
Yeah, see, I doubt you'll see them winning a medal, but, I mean, could be wrong. I did see that there was one of the lassies we hear who's swimming. I think it was a 50-metre freestyle. She won her first heat.
Oh, awesome.
She won her first heat. She's the youngest person competing in that event. She's 13.
Damn. To win a sprint event in swimming as well, though, like that's...
No. I mean, it was just a heat, but...
I know it's a heat, but like to be at that sort of level at that age, because that's like being a sprint, that's no like you kind of just have naturally good cardio, like you need to have the power.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm.
To be able to swim that fast, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's impressive. I was reading about somebody cried Scott. Let's see if I can find it again. Scotland Scott wins gold and bronze.
Oh, that'd be Duncan Scott by any chance.
Indeed it is. He won the men's 200 metre freestyle gold. He beat the Olympic champion Tom Dean of England.
Mm.
Englishman, yep.
And then he took bronze in the 400 individual medley. Aye. So, well played, Mr. Duncan Scott.
Aye.
Congratulations, all boy.
There's a lot of love between the English and the Scottish when it comes to the Commonwealth as well, because obviously this is just a fun wee break where they compete against one another, because all year round they're Team GB guys with one another.
Aye. Mm-hmm. Aye.
So I saw interviews kind of post race with the fella that Duncan Scott beat, and mm-hmm. he couldn't have been any more happier for him, like right. even though he's just been beat by him.
Okay.
Because that's all he was saying was, we're looking great going into the Olympics, I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like that was his attitude, as opposed to talking about the Commonwealth, was we look brilliant getting into this Olympics coming up. I mean, that'll be mm-hmm. 2 years away now, that is, in Paris. Which is kind of sweet.
2 years?
I know, it's Paris. Aye, 2024 mm-hmm. in Paris. Because obviously 2020, even though it was just last Mirage.
Oh, was in Tokyo. Aye, that's right.
The empty Olympics in Tokyo. That
the 2020 Olympics that were held in 2021.
Aye, yep. Nobody cared about it even then. Like,
aye. To be fair, that's the first time. Like, I didn't really watch it.
You know what? I always watched the Olympics, aye, but I didn't care about that. I think the world just, there was more important things, I think, was the best way to describe it.
True, actually. I always kind of go out my way to watch the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Every 4 years, where like I really give an interest to such a variety of sports.
Oh, mm-hmm. you're watching the archery and going, oh, she's fucked up there. Like, even though this lassie's hit the outside of the centre for bloody 50 metres away, and the target's about the size of a laptop screen, you're like, ah, she could have done better.
She should have done it. She's become an armchair.
She's not got a full. She's not relaxed enough, man. I mean, she's to watch for that wind. It's the same with the gymnastics. Like, the gymnastics is always my favourite, where you're watching these boys and lassies compete and do the most amazing mm-hmm. physical feats of strength and balance and style. And the lassie or the boy will land and one foot will go like, oh shit, and you'll be like, ah, oh no.
That dismount wasn't good enough.
That dismount. Oh, she's stutter stepped. Oh dear. Oh, and look at the score. Oh no.
Oh man.
it's hilarious how you become an expert immediately when the Olympics is on. It's the fun of it, I think. You turn into a pro all of a sudden.
Christ, I even watched badminton when the Olympics is on.
Badminton's not that bad to watch.
Badminton's watchable. Why? I see badminton at the top. I mean, it's really watchable.
Mm-hmm. Do you not? Oh, curling. Oof.
I love curling when it's on. I'm all about the curling at the Winter Olympics.
That's
Winter
the thing Olympics. When you've got to have a bit of banter about it. Curling without banter. Aye, curling without banter is just stupid. Apologies to anybody that plays curling, but it is. It's a laugh to try and play it, right? I've tried to play it. I remember being involved.
Have you? Oh,
I was involved with some athletics that I think it was through the college. Actually, I was volunteering at some kind of experience day. I think it was like at the Magnum years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the day, I helped out at different stall stations. That's the word. So like there was archery, and it was all the kind of stuff you get at Commonwealth Games and Olympics. It was a right mix of stuff. One of the things was curling, so it was like legit players, coaches, whatever they were.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like for part of the day, I was one of the volunteers, and they were like showing me the techniques and stuff. And of course, I'm just skating about the ice like an idiot. I had no hope of doing anything with it. Like it's actually the skill level is. Like so much higher than you kind of mm-hmm. probably give them credit for. Like, so you try to keep mm-hmm. your balance in that lunge position if you're like the person that's doing the curling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that big like, power slide.
That ain't easy.
That's a flex, man. That is a flex. That's coolness. That you're a cool bam.
As soon as I would start sliding, I would start spinning.
Your back legs away, is it?
Aye. So I'd have to just let go of the whatever the hell they call that big rock and just hope for the best. I couldn't control it.
It looks like every time I watch it, I say I want to try it. I always do that thing where I go, I can give a shot of curling. Because you see all of the try curling things on BBC.com, because there's all these wee clubs.
Right.
And it's an old person sport, really. Like, mm-hmm. the numbers probably aren't very great for mm-hmm. curling.
It's like I never ever try. Lawn bowls, I should say.
Are you giving up at admitting you're old if you try curlings? Like in the same way that if you try bowls when you're under 50?
What?
I always think bowls is an old person thing.
Aye.
Like you hit grand age and that's when you try bowls.
It's like golf.
A lot of young folk play bowls.
Like if you play golf bowls. And you're under 40, you're a bit weird, in my opinion.
My brothers just took up golfing, by the way. My brothers went mad for golfing.
It's just this. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've played golf many a time, right? But no, seriously. Like, I'm not buying a fucking knitted jumper and special golf shoes and all that. Like, that's what I mean.
A knitted jumper. Yeah.
I'm not a golfer, man. I'm definitely not a golfer. I can't do it, man.
Enjoy a round of golf.
Fair play to anybody.
Do you know what's cool to watch? Table tennis.
What else are you talking about? A table tennis.
Lisa's cousin.
Interesting to watch that.
Aye.
Mm-hmm.
My missus's cousin, he played at the Commonwealth 8 years ago. Right. He's a table tennis player. Mm-hmm. So he did.
I like the mannerisms.
His name is.
There's a lot of body movement, and then it's just all in the wee wrist flicks and stuff.
The wrist flick,
Again, great fun to play table tennis. Really loved that when I was wee, when I was younger. Love playing table tennis.
Oh, I can't play it. What the fuck? Excuse my language.
I was can't play it. I was passable as a total amateur having a laugh. However, I don't think for second I could hang with anybody that's actually competitive at it.
I remember playing against somebody who was good at it, and they were like, "Oh, you want to play table?" I was like, "Ah, wait." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm not very good." They're like, "Ah, I'm not good either." Lies. I played tops me. I was like, "Right, nah." After about five serves, I was like, "Nah, I'm not playing you. What are you doing?" All kind of spinning, and I'm like, "Ah, what are you?" You're no good. I can just hit the ball and get it onto the next side of the table when you're doing all this mad spins, and I'm just like, psh, nah, away.
See, I can do a wee bit of that. I've got a wee bit of that proficiency. I remember playing at college and being kind of passable against boys that were decent at it, even when I came to college with you guys.
Was G Pope not good at table tennis?
Gordon, I'm sure, was quite good at the table tennis as well, but no, I'm passable at it. I would give somebody a decent game, if not a brilliant. Not a brilliant game, but a decent game. I would hold my own. It's one of the kind of old games that I just seem to have a bit of kind of love for.
Shall we move things on a wee bit?
Yeah.
So I said I had a wee bit of a surprise. So there's a radio station, and I think it's in Australia.
All right.
I can't remember the name of it. It's like kind of rock type radio station, but they kind of charity shows on it.
Flyman and Rock Radio.
It's letters. It's like K something or other FM or something. I can't quite remember Flyman what it is.
FM.
But they're big on social media, like TikTok and Instagram and stuff. They do well because they do these kind of listener interaction things. Like, well, so they'll have like listeners send in stories that are funny about stuff, and. I'm guessing they must, like, for the live broadcast, they must bleep them, right? But when they put the videos on social media, they're uncut. So, like, the presenters will read the stories as they're written, so you get the swearing and stuff. So it just, that adds the wee extra bits of banter into it, right? So one of the favourites that they always seem to come back to is nicknames. So basically, if you've ever worked with somebody that's had a funny nickname or has a kind of run-of-the-mill nickname, but there's a funny story that goes with it, like you send in the story and then they'll read it out if it's funny. So I've had a wee browse through Reddit and I've found a subreddit that's dedicated to this sort of thing, right? So funny stories based around nicknames. So I figured, let's take 5-10 minutes just to have a wee flick through and have a couple of laughs. So now let me preface this way. Some of these might be, I don't know, controversial, let's say. If they're a bit too far gone, then they'll just get cut out. But if they're sort of treading the waters, we'll leave them in and just be advised that it's nothing to do with us. I'm just reading words off the internet. So
we're not responsible.
I'll not read the usernames because that could be risky in itself, right? So I'll just read the things, right? So first one is, and let me preface again, I've no pre-read these, so God knows what we're going to get. Right, first one.
Oh, Jesus.
The nickname is Half-Tan Dan. Came to work one day after sleeping next to his girlfriend who had done self-fake tan. One side of his face had some tan transfer while they slept. Half-Tan Dan, that's quite good.
Half-Tan Dan.
We once...
Could I follow up in that, by the way, just while you're on Half-Tan Dan? One time, and this is just when I started going out with Lisa, she fake tanned herself.
Okay.
Right, before bed, got in bed, and I made sure to stay away from her all night. However, when I got home and I checked, and I was just getting dressed to go to the gym, and I noticed in the mirror there was a brown spot in my back.
Right.
For 6 days, I panicked that I thought, oh no, something's wrong with my skin. What if I've got skin cancer? What if I'm dying? I then asked my mum, who laughed her head for 50, laughed off her head for 15 minutes, and she went, "No, you silly git, that's fake Dan." Worst week of my life, worrying about potentially having cancer. No, it was fake tan. Sorry, right. I'll butt back.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Right, next up. We once called a guy Sean Steve for 7 years because he wore a black turtleneck to the pub once, just like Steve Jobs.
Right, Steve Jobs,
Sean Steve.
So they changed the guy's, a guy who was called Sean, they changed his name to Steve. It's because he wore a turtleneck.
All right, Steve.
That sounds like the kind of shit we would have done, man.
Yep.
100%.
Went to school with a guy who brought a torch in with him once, was torch boy for 5 years. Oh, Jesus. 2 years later, his sister joined and she ended up getting called Torch Girl.
Oh, he's a brutal man.
Oh, this seems a long...
The kids' nicknames are horrible.
Right, there's a bit of commitment here. This is a long story, it looks like. Worked in a pub for a few years with a girl nicknamed Stiglet. Found out later it was because a couple of years before her, her brother Stephen, nicknamed Stig, worked there.
Stig and Stiglet.
All right, this seems to just be an ongoing thing. I don't quite understand why this is on the one comment, but anyway, we'll just go with it.
Right, go for it.
We worked with a guy we called Sambo. Now, I was totally unaware it's an old-fashioned racist slur. He was a small white dude called Samuel Bowden. I found out what it meant one night when glass collecting in the band room, and I called out, "Oi, Sambo," and got a menacing glare from a large black guy playing the bass.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, wow.
My nickname in school was Fonzie. I had a habit of giving people two thumbs up as a sort of greeting. It didn't help that I had a battered old leather biker jacket too.
Hell, old Fonzie.
Oh, Jesus Christ. They call a guy at my work Kit Kat, as he's missing four fingers.
That's outstanding. That's brilliant. Do you know anybody with a daft nickname like that? You're bound to have come across people with nicknames that are that silly.
Me? Can I think of...
Is it Danny come to mind? I can think of several for just my village. Me, for instance, I get called Pelvis for 3 years because I put the Pelvis sticker on a skeleton in school. They called me Pelvis. Years. It took me years to shake that nickname off. Getting called Pelvis. It then dropped to P and went to Elvis. And folks shouted all shook up at me. True story.
All shook up.
Honestly, man. Big Elvis. There was a boy as well from my village who got called Pump the Dog. Cause he went about everywhere with his wee dog. He was this wee boy who loved his wee dog. His dog walked about the village. The big boys in the village baptised him Pump the Dog, and that was it. Mm. What a wee shame. I still wonder if that dog's alive.
I know somebody who the folk would call him Chicken. And
right.
Well, that's because he got caught pumping a chicken.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
When he was younger.
I didn't expect that.
He used to call him Chicken. Chicken.
What a nickname. Oh my God. I didn't see that coming. I've opened a can of worms here, Mike. Apologies.
That's all right.
There was I can a couple, but I can't mean.
Look, you have a thing. I'll do another couple of these, right?
I go and fire, man. Oh, wait.
There's a guy, I know a guy called 90.
90?
Aye.
90?
Because he's only got 9 fingers. So
they just call him now.
Aye. 90.
All right, 90.
So,
Jesus.
Try to wrap my brain back in. There's a couple for the Navy, I can't mind it.
Well, the Navy will be
so,
once, man. Jesus.
So, in the Navy, same as the Army and the Armed Forces in the UK anyway, like, depending on your last name is usually how you get a nickname. So, like, if your last name is Smith, you'd be named Smudge or Smudger, because back in the day, like, the phone books, like, Smith was obviously a popular name. So folk would be running their finger down to find the right Smith to call, and it would smudge the paper.
See, I always wondered where that came from.
And then,
right,
like,
so that's why that...
Somebody with the last name Bell would be called Dinger.
Oh, that's Ding Bell. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's pretty obvious.
If your last name's Andrews, it's Julie. Oh, it's Julie Andrews, right? There's a bunch more, but, like, guys.
You ever explained to me the smudge thing with Smith, which I always wondered what the hell that was all about. I was today years old when I found that out, man.
Oh, lads.
Did you know that, mate?
Oh, you're going to love this, Shane. I missed that question. Sorry, what was the question?
No, sorry. Did you know that, what Harvey just said there about the smudge Smith thing?
No, no idea, no. I wondered about the smudge thing.
You've told us something today, man. Right, go for it, mate.
Right, you should like this, Shane. One lad had curly hair and glasses, so he got called Pat, like Postman Pat.
Yeah.
But this then changed when one day he got an erection while a teacher was putting him in the recovery position during a health and safety training class. So from then on, he was known as Pat Boner.
Pat Boner, yes.
Love it.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, Jesus, man.
Oh, man. Right, final one. All right, final two ones just caught my eye.
Right.
In the first week of uni, a guy in my course wore a Burberry hat to a lecture. For 3 years, he was called Chav Hat. Right, now, pièce de resistance. I work with a guy called Tony who's 5'2". He's known as Shetland Tony.
Yes.
That's the winner. That was outstanding.
But
oh, my Shetland Tony. Aye, that's decent. I like that. That's pretty decent.
There's just enough, like, intelligence in that it's
outstanding. Shetland Tony.
Ah, man.
Aye, decent, man. That's decent. I like that.
Oh, Christ. Right.
Did anybody in our school have a weird nickname?
I'm sure there was a couple, but I'm struggling, I think.
Brownie B.
Oh, I still can't mind.
I remember there was a boy I used to work with getting called last week's tatty soup because his oaks are smelling. This boy got called last week's tatty soup. I'm not even joking. Folk would say, "Where's last week's tatty soup?" He's through there. Like, it's the longest nickname I've ever heard in my life.
To be fair, we do have one for college that kind of borders on this sort of stuff. Your Stevie, after doing an Irish accent on a night out, became known as Irish Steve.
That's because they thought the lassies he was talking to were Irish.
We're not Irish.
You're Irish.
He
was known as Irish Stevie the whole duration of college.
It's like, no, Stevie.
Where's Stevie? What Stevie? Irish Stevie.
Sweet Irish Stevie. Stevie Raybone.
He had the dancing feet though, Stevie. He got known as that as well, Stevie that can dance.
Aye, fast feet Stevie.
Aye. Fast Stevie with the feet. Irish Stevie with the feet. Damn, could he dance?
Could I?
I actually saw a video on Facebook, and it was some guy doing the old rave dance, and the first thing I thought was, he's not as good as Stevie. Stevie's better than that. Steve with a drink in him would destroy that. That was unusual.
For quite a while, when I was an apprentice joiner back in the day, there was one guy who would always refer to me as Creeping Jesus.
Creeping Jesus?
Because when I first started, I hadn't really had the sun in a while, and I was like milk bottle white.
Creeping Jesus. There's all creeps.
Greet me in the morning. Oh, there he is. Morning, creep Jesus.
Christ, I'm out. I must be a good environment, is it? No, being an apprentice in a building.
Oh, it was glorious.
And
that was
character building.
That was before all the kind of cancel culture and all the rest of it. So,
oh,
I've seen and heard
some of this stuff.
Some lovely things.
I remember stories, boys. My mate Jamie. He used to be a scaffolder. Some of the things that boys would date one another in building sites, man.
I've seen folk get nailed and stapled to walls and stuff.
Aye, man.
That's hilarious.
I once seen a guy. I'm pretty sure he was like an apprentice joiner, but for a different company. But they put a nail in the wall about 6 foot up and lifted him up and hung him by his tool belt.
Yes.
That's horrible.
It must have been like terrible mentally for him, but it was fucking
funny. Especially if you're like a teenager, man.
Oh Christ.
Grown men absolutely roasting you alive.
In the Navy they did a thing not quite similar, but they called it Junior Kaplunk. Junior Kaplunk, so what they would do was they would grab somebody who was just, it was their first ship, you know, just out of basic training and that, and they would they would just hold them up against the ceiling and put strips of duct tape on until they could let go and he would tingle, and then
just hang there,
and then everybody would get a chance to take one strip off until he fell to the
Junior Kaplunk.
That's horrible, man.
I missed it in that because I can't remember exactly how it happened, but basically they were grabbing some of the boys who were new in that, and they were like, we're gonna hit Junior Kaplunk, whatever, and was chasing them, and then they came by me and I was just like, whatever. I was like, I didn't run. Do you know what I mean? I was like, you've got to catch me anyway, so might as well just get it over and done with. And they were like, it's all right. So because I was just like, I just basically like, fucking give up now because you're going to catch me on a ship. It was very fun. So chasing her, cool. So I managed to get with it. It's fun. That's a fun game. And yeah, I even got a shot of taking one of the and strips off to you, right? So,
there was a guy in one site at work, whose favourite thing was to terrorise the youngins, the apprentices, and the labourers, with an ale gun. So, he would just grab you, be shirt, jumper. High vis vest, whatever it was, kind of hang. He would grab whatever it was, and he would play he was going to nail, through that into the wall, so you'd be stuck. But he would do it now and again, so you didn't care if he was joking or if he was actually going to do it that day, kind of thing. If you saw him coming to a corridor with a nail gun, you would go in the opposite direction, just in case you get nailed to a wall.
Did they ever try any of the sending you out for a long stand or anything like that?
I got that.
I did that to somebody.
It's like an initiation thing, man.
Aye. Did you fall for anything?
The only thing I fell for was slightly embarrassing to admit this, but on my way to my first shift, my very first shift with the company, the guy who went on to be my kind of supervisor guy for a while. The full journey there, he was telling me about, I better avoid names, Big, insert his name, we'll call him Big Frank, right? The full journey up, he's barring me up about his, he's 6 foot whatever, he's built like this, he hates getting asked questions, he hates if you don't address him as Mr. whatever, and he was just building it up and building it up. The full time I'm thinking, I don't believe a word you're saying, but I better go a long way just in case, because if you happen to be telling the truth. So what he told, what he, the whole pint of this, and it is, it's the weakest like rib. Like he could have come up with something better today, but anyway, the whole pint of telling me this was that what he wanted me today, the butt of the joke was he gave me a packet of wine gums and he told me wine gums were his favourite sweet, and if I went up and said, "Hi, how you doing, Mister Blah? My name's Michael. I'm the new." Well, at that time I was a labourer, that was before I got taken on as the apprentice. I'm the new labourer, it's nice to meet you, these are for you. And I was to give him the wine gums as like a piece of it so they would like me. Now, that was the butt of the joke. So I went along with it just in case the whole time I did. And it was like, it got a giggle at a mace folk that were running about, but it was really only the one guy that was trying to get me to do it that really thought it was a hilarious joke.
That funny, right?
So it was one of them where you're a bit like, good one, mate. you really got me there.
I fell for one when I was, I kind of made who it was, but I was young anyway. And I was going into the shop. It was when I did the landscaping for a wee bit, just after the last year. And I did, so like, folk were like, "Oh, get me this, get me that." And I was like, "All right, okay, cool." And then somebody like handed me a fiver or whatever and was like, "All right, go get some fallopian tubes." I think they're fallopian tubes.
Oh, no.
I was like, "All right, cool." At that time, I didn't have a bloody clue. Right? And I showed this one, I was like, looking about, and then I asked one, I was like, "You have any fallopian tubes?" And she was like, "I've got them, but I can't use them." I was like, ah. And I started, and I was like, that was the only one. Somebody did send me for a long stand, right. And I just went, "Oh, fuck it, cool." And I just fucked off for a fucking hour or so. And they phoned me and they were like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Oh, he sent me for a long stand." So I was having a long stand.
Try to play behind them.
Aye.
I do remember when I was getting sent for stuff, man. I think I was too. Like, I wouldn't like answer them back, but like, I knew what the script was. Like, I kind of caught and don't know what was what quite quick, so they didn't get the reaction at me that they wanted. So they kind of stopped pestering me and stuff like that. But there was a couple of lads I remember getting sent for like left-handed screwdrivers and stuff like that, man. And like, they would legit go and like rake about toolboxes and ask folk for help and stuff. Like, some of the boys that got started were dense, man. Unfortunately.
The worst I ever come across was getting, I mean, I didn't work in any apprenticeship kind of environment. I was in a swimming pool when I was a teenager, like working as a lifeguard, and getting sent up to, I think it was, there was a boy that was roughing poolside, one of the kind of fucking fully grown adults, and it was pull away up and swap position with him, and it was a good position. If you go to that, you'd an easy time it and you can hide.
Right.
Go and swap with him. Okay. And well, I have to swap with you. No swapping with you. "No, but the gaffer says I've, fuck off, Paul." "Okay, I go back down." No, I got him telling me if to slap. Next time I went up, I got thrown in the pool. He went, "Here's your fucking position," threw me in the water. And that was me. I was like, "All right." Of course, then I look up at the control tower, but the pool at Craig Tara, there's like a, it used to be the management were on the bloody, the kind of the walkway above it, they're all fucking buckled at me. I was like, "Ah, right, I get it, right." Fair enough. I was collateral to wind up the hungover boy. 16-year-old shiting myself. Great laugh. Humbled me quick.
Right. Shall we ring the bell? Or we call it time?
Good shout, man.
Ring my bell.
Ring the bell.
I don't know what that was.
Good way to end the podcast. Sing us out.
Okay. That was about the only part of the song I know.
So this has been a special edition of The Aftermath, the summer holiday edition, if you will. If you have been, thank you very much for listening. My name, of course, has been Mick. They've been Harvey and Paul. It's been a pleasure. And we'll see you when the holidays are by next week. Oh, Harvey just thought of something. Harvey with the final comment?
Nah, he was just scratching his head. Please.
I've had some technical issues, ladies and gentlemen. So for me, it's a bye-bye driver and from a Paul.
It's bye driver as well. Aye, absolutely. For me, aye. Bye driver.
Goodbye.
Bye.